This year is being dedicated to Louis Nishmath Aryeh Blei ben Shmuel Asher and Ruvain ben Yaakov Halevi. The Chumash tells us in describing Mamed Har Sinai, Vayotze Moshe Ta'am Likrat Elokim, Moshe brought the people forth from the camp toward Hashem, Mina Machaneh, Vayatvu B'Tachtit Ahar, and the people stood literally B'Tachtit Ahar, so the English translates at the bottom of the mountain. But if that's really the case, it should say Tachat Hahar, which is at the bottom of the mountain. B'tachtit seems to mean underneath the mountain. So how were the people able to stand underneath the mountain? And this the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. Milameh, source 1, Shekafa, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aleihem et Ahar, Kegigis, V'amar lahem, Im atem mekablim et haTorah mutar, V'im lav, Sham tei kvaratchem. The Holy One, blessed be He, held the mountain above them like a barrel. So they were literally beneath the mountain. And he said to them, if you accept the Torah, well and good. But if not, your burial will be there. The textual basis of this exposition, as Rabbi Bernstein points out, is the fact that generally when Torah refers to the foot of the mountain, it uses the expression tachat ahar. The unusual word b'tachtit implies inside the bottom of the mountain, i.e. underneath it. At any rate, we see from the statement that Gemara received the Torah based on an ultimatum. The Gemara is quite taken aback by this, questioning the binding nature of such an acceptance. And then the Gemara speaks about that in the future, when they accepted it in the times of Achashverosh, Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu v'shekiblu kfar, they accepted it out of the love of the miracle, so then it became binding. We're not even going to touch this end of the Gemara, which is a shirin of itself. I'd like to talk about this idea of Kafa Leim Har Kegigis, Hashem hanging the mountain over their head. We've discussed this idea, this Gemara, in the past. We're going to take a look at Mirtz Hashem and completely different, albeit connected, but very different ideas in Mirtz Hashem today. So the obvious question we have to ask ourselves is, and this is the question that Tosfos asks, that our sages record in Tractate Shabbos, that the Jewish people were actually forced into accepting the Torah. This would seem to run contrary to the fact that they'd earlier committed themselves voluntarily to its adoption with the words Nasa v'Nishma. So, what does this Gemara mean? Kaf alim har kegigis. It's as if Hashem was saying, you know what, B'nai Yisrael, you have to accept the Torah, and if not, I'm going to kill you right here. Well, hello! When Hashem asked them, do you want to accept the Torah or not, they said, Nasa v'Nishma, we'd love to accept the Torah. We'll do and then we'll hear. So why was it necessary for Hashem to hold the mountain over their heads? Tosfos, very famous response that people quote from Tosfos, that when the Jewish nation saw the flames surrounding Sinai, they were about to withdraw their acceptance out of fear. Only the threat of Shamtei Kvaratchem and extinction held them to the original promise. Okay, so we understand. So Tosfos explains, yes, they said Nasa v'Nishma, but you know what? When they saw the fire, they got very scared and they were going to retract. So Hashem said, you can't retract. You have to do this. So we need to obviously understand this idea of why Hashem is forcing it on them. So that's going to be part of our question today. But then there's another question, which is screaming out at us, or when Roberts brings in Timeless Season, why, in fact, did Hashem encircle the mountain with fire, thereby frightening them and necessitating the method of kafalim har kegigis and coercion? So if you say that it was a fire that was going to make them scared, so do us a favor, don't have the fire, they wouldn't be scared, and the original acceptance of Nasa v'Nishma would be sufficient. So we need to understand the place of this fire in this entire perspective as well. And our final question, aside from why was it necessary to hang the mountain over their head if they already agreed to it, what's the symbolism of forcing them of this coercion? That's question one. Question two, well, if you're going to say it's so that they may retract with the fire, then why bother having the fire? The third aspect is in the language of the Gemara itself, which should also scream out at us as a question. And that is, V'amefarshim ikshu lekach v'libum, Rav Shor brings us source number 3, Ma kavana sham tihe kvaratchem, halo ahar hayal gabehem, v'haved le lomar po, haynu tachat ahar tihe kvaratchem. Here's the imagery. The mountain is hovering over their head, and Hashem is saying, if you accept it, great. If not, squash, right? This is where you're going to die. So if this is where you're going to die, this is where you're going to be buried, so it should be Po, here. Here is where you're going to be buried. Not Sham, there, right? He's not hanging the head over there. He's hanging the head over here. So it should be Po Tiek Vretzim. Here will be your burial if you don't accept Torah. Why does it use the word Sham? Over there will be your grave. If it's not over there, it's over here. And obviously, our final question for today is, we know that the Sfarim say that all aspects of Har Sinai reappear, so to speak, each and every year. It's not like there was one time a Mamad Har Sinai, but every Shavuos we're re-accepting Torah. Every Shavuos our Neshama say Nashta V'Nishma. So where do we see this aspect of Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis? Where do we see this coercion in our own lives every year on Shavuos? How do we tap into this reality? So my friends, I'd like to take a look at this on two levels. The first level is a very fascinating insight for Lekha Felibov. The second level is going to really have two parts to it, and then we'll come in Mirz Hashem with a conclusion or a reconciliation with a practical application for our lives. So let's begin. Lekha Felibov himself, Rav Shor. Hinei Matzinu B'Sefer Chidushei Haran Ala Torah, who asks a very interesting question. In the Dor HaMapel, in the generation of the flood, So we have the question of why is it that the animals are being punished in the time of the Mabel, time of the destruction of the flood. If an animal doesn't have free choice, so then they can't be punished for what they've done. So the Chidushei Aran answers, a Chiddush Gadol. That caused says the Chidushei Haran, that when the Jewish people sinned, in particular sins of immorality, that affected not only the people, it affected the air. And the air then affected that even the animals acted in ways that were inappropriate. And we know the pigeons in San Francisco are the perfect example of what we're saying here, where the pigeons start mating with the same species. And this is exactly what he's talking about. We have to understand that when we act, we're not acting in a vacuum. When we act, you know, the environmentalists say today, right, the smog of LA, right, all of the environment that we have creates, both in the physical as well as in the metaphysical world, an effect. And it affects the people there. So a person sins and they say, well, what difference does it make if I sin? Well, the answer is not only does it make a difference on you and who you are, it creates a certain pollution in the air. And that pollution, like secondhand smoke, is able then to impact the people around you, whether they realize it or not. It's like some bacteria that, you know, it's very contagious and that it spreads even though you can't see this. This is the way Rabbeinu Bechaya as well explains. By Adat Korach, Pasuk says, "He badlu mitoch haida, separate yourself from the people." Kadosh Baruch Hu can't know who were the sinners that you have to separate. He said, "Ela kadesh lo yidbak b'hem avir hara, stay away, because there's negative air here that you don't want to be affected by it." You know, they tell the story of the Gra, this is a squiggly in five, who used to learn in his house with the window shades closed. He didn't want to have any part of the outside enter into his house, and he used to learn by the light of a candle made by Yirei Hashem. And again, so we think, oh my gosh, this is what? This is extreme. Perhaps it's extreme because we're not sensitive to the environment and to the air around us. If we were, we wouldn't think it's so strange at all. And that's why in source 6, here's the key source, B'nei Yisrael Be'i Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, at the time of receiving the Torah, Hikifam Hashem Yitbarach, B'gigit Hashem, put them into this barrel, surrounded them completely. Probably was a very big barrel. Hainu Shlo Yatoch Avir Ha'olam, so that they wouldn't be in the air, right? He just mamish took the mountain, like a barrel, just put it over our heads. so that we would be completely submerged underneath the mountain, and that not only physically submerged, but the airspace, right? You know, the recirculated air on the airplane, right? The airspace was going to be the same air, the air of Kedusha. V'amar lo Hashem yiparach, and Hashem says, double the squiggly, Sham, haynu chutz legiki, makom she'in avir tahor. Out there, where the air isn't any good, but otomako minatki mekdusha satora, shavir shalom azesh shalevi afshar lichyon chayin yitzchim shal Torah. V'nikrayim meitim. If you don't accept the Torah, which means that if you don't recognize the power of the environment of Torah, and you step out of this environment, there you're going to die because you're not going to be able to breathe. It's air that's not conducive for Kedusha. It's air that's not conducive to grow in your Avodas Hashem. So as long as you're staying under the mountain, the seminary students call it in the bubble, so then you're fine, you'll be able to breathe, you're breathing Kedusha. But once you leave here, once you leave the parameters of Kedusha, Sham, over there, take Faratcha. And this is, he quotes here an idea, Ra'iti Pam B'Sefer B'Shem Rav Kadosh Rav Aaron Zitmir, Zichutoy Ganalinu, that when Ravina Rav Ashi wrote Talmud Bavli in Bavel, they went to two mountains, and using the names of Hashem, they brought there the Avir de Eretz Yisrael, the air of Eretz Yisrael, and it surrounded them like clouds, and there they wrote the Talmud Bavli, because only in such a environment were they able to write such a work of Kedusha. When one learns the Gemara, Talmud Bavli, right, Daf Yomi, you are surrounded by the air of Eretz Yisrael. As Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in Tzidkot HaTzadik, V'shamachki ki dalet amal shal halacha, yesh lo kedusha shel Eretz Yisrael. We know that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. Not only intellectually smart, it makes you spiritual. It makes you connected. And therefore, when a person is immersed in Torah, they then surround themselves with this avirah, with this spirit. It says Rav Shor, "V'im yomar hadam, well, hello, you know, I have to go out to work. I have to be involved. I can't be in the dalet amal shal halacha all day, right? You know, like, what am I supposed to do? Wear an oxygen mask? Like, you know, how am I supposed to survive?" So he brings down the Maisa, which is very famous, of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, that once was in America in the year Tufresh Sadik Tet, and he went through the cities of Manhattan, and he screamed, "The air is no good. She'en kan reach tov, the smell is no good," and he felt the tuma that was found there. Now, if that was Rav Elchanan Wasserman almost 100 years ago, what do we say about the air today? And the challenge is a very great challenge. And indeed, he brings down a gewaldic word. He says that the pasuk speaks about vayit arvu bagoyim, and they mix themselves, pasuk tehillim, among the nation, vayilamdu ma'aseihem, and they learn their ways. It doesn't say mi ma'aseihem, from their ways. So Reb Zusha explains ki agoyim basotam aveiro. When the goyim do aveiros, nitaveh mechamatzeh klipos ha'er malei sumatam, the air is filled with this impurity. Vaideshim mitarvim ba'goyim, and when you intermingle with them, heim machti'im ha'adam ba'al korcho, it affects you even against your will. And that's vayimodu ma'aseim emela, you're going to learn their ways, because you're going to be affected literally, not from their ways, but their ways themselves. There's no way to avoid it. So what do we do, my friends? So the answer is, we have to create Eretz Yisrael wherever we go. We have to create the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. And that's why he says in source number 8, Vareze hasiyu achi gadol sheyachol liyo l'adam shikaber nisayot sheyeshlo ve'en lo ta'anash en kan avir tov. Ke'arei biyado l'kadesh avir shemisayo liyo tov. We can, and we have to, have air fresheners, which are our Torah, our mitzvos, our halacha, And this is what a person has to do. A person has to be able. They know mevaktera kutzal shayud vaganato. Hare avir nid kadesh because yusha yutera kedusha stal and amos shalacha shed lo kersh brochu elozeh ba'olamo. So says Rav Shur, our only recourse is to live a life as halachic as possible and as authentic as possible to create this environment of kedusha. And that's our only hope. So when a person's in the office and they're struggling with a moral question, should I cheat on this, should I not? And a person stands strong and says, no, this is not right to do. At that moment, they brought in the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. They brought in the Avira Tahara, good air, into the office. People are speaking negatively about somebody, and they walk away, and they say, I'm not going to listen. Creating a good air. And that's what our hope is, whether it's in the office, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our lives. We have to realize that what we do, what we see, what we hear, what we experience, creates an environment. You know, we've spoken about before, Rav Pinkus Atzal speaks about one should imagine that in your living room, in your house, you have a Sefer Torah. And whatever you would feel would be appropriate in front of the Aron Kodosh, right? Like in shul, you know, read certain things, you know, say certain things, hopefully the Aron Kodosh is there. Imagine Aron Kodosh is open, Sefer Torah is open. Our children are the Sefer Torah, our children are walking Sefer Torah, our children are walking Kedusha, we ourselves are walking Sefer Torah. So what is appropriate to say in front of these aspects of Kedusha, you say, and if not, you stop yourself from saying. And I think, my friends, on a very real level, this is what the Rav Shur speaks about in 9b. When Boaz meets the Kotzrim, the reapers, he says to them, he greets them, Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you. So Rav Shur brings down on the arrow in 9b, why is he giving them that introduction? Like, obviously, he knows they know Hashem is with them. He's trying to remind them, Hashem is with you. And therefore, don't do anything inappropriate with any of the young ladies that are found here, or with any of the halachas that are found here. Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you. This has to be the mindset. This has to be the call for us as well. And I think on this first level, which is perhaps a little bit up there in the air, however, it's not full of air. It is full of kedusha. It's very, very, very fundamental. Is that there's often things that we don't see, like a woman is careful not to be around x-rays when she's expecting. You don't see the radiation, you're right, but it has an effect. And likewise, the way we speak and the way we interact and what we do affects the environment that we're in and affects the people in that environment. Would it not be prudent for us that already, starting next week, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, on Tuesday next week, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Shloshei Yemei Hagbalah, for sure, the 3 days before Shavuos, let's try to really focus in on creating good air in our environment and ask ourselves, what is it that's in our homes that might be polluting the air? And say, you know what, those are the things that we really need for a week, right? To be able to say, I'm creating, you know, a smoke-free environment, a tumor-free environment, and post up big posters, right? Tumor-free environment. Certain things aren't allowed this week, Erev Shavuos, because I want to be a place, kafalim harkikikis, I want my home, I want my office, I want my life to be surrounded by Kedusha. And I understand and I realize, and this is the message of the Gemara, that im lav, if you don't understand this, sham teik v'ratchem, there, in that very home, in the very office, in that very environment, you're killing yourself, you're burying yourself, you're choking yourself with this tuma. And this is food for thought at level number one. Second level, we'll introduce with a piece from Rav Elia Rotz Zatzal, Sichur Eliyahu. And he says in source number 10, Zman Matan Torah Teinu, this is the time of receiving the Torah. It's not one-sided. If someone's giving something, the other person has to receive it. And our receiving it, Talui B'Kabbalot Teinu Anu, is about our level of receiving. To what extent do we receive the Torah? If you have open hands, Hashem can give us a large gift. If my hands are cupped together and I don't have much space, so then there's not much room that I can be able to accept the Torah. And he notes in continuing in source number 10 that the fascinating challenge of Shavuos is we don't have a mitzvah to focus in on. Right? We don't have the lulav and the sukkah. We don't have the matzah. Right? We're almost missing like something to focus in on. And he says that's the challenge of the day. The day is really avodah shebalev. It's really the mindset of the heart. It's really about our entirety, our Weltanschauung, in being able to accept the Torah. He says, having said that, though, there is, in source number 11, really an opportune time, if you had to distill down, a time to really focus on Shavuos, and that is the time of Kriyas HaTorah. And again, it'd be worthwhile, even with little kids, if you're able, depends on Abram, etc., to take kids, also to just hear Mamad Har Sinai on Shavuos. At that moment, when we're hearing Mamad Har Sinai, we should feel what the Haftarah speaks about. Niftechu HaShemayim, the heavens open. And we should feel that moment of Mamad Har Sinai, like Mamash, the heavens are open. And this is a moment for us to connect with Ribbono Shalom. This is a moment for us to make these commitments that we're going to talk about in Mirtz Hashem today. So let's understand, what are these commitments to think about at this time? So perhaps, aside from the Tosfos, the other very famous piece, so we mentioned this as well a few years ago when we spoke about this, is the Maharal, which we're going to look at a little bit differently today. The Maharal explains that although the people accepted the Torah willingly, this is source 12, Hashem nonetheless held the mountain over them in order to impress upon them the crucial message that ultimately the fulfillment of the Torah is imperative for the continued existence of the world. Indeed, the Gemara follows this discussion of Hashem suspending the mountain over the people by citing the expression of a verse regarding the creation of the world. It was evening in the morning, the sixth day. What does it mean in the additional letter He, Yom HaShishi? This teaches us the Holy One, blessed be, stipulated with the world of creation, and said to them, if Israel will accept the Torah, you will endure it. If not, I will revert you back to Tov, Avahu, the world back to nothingness. According to the Maharal, Hashem's ultimatum to Jewish people on Mount Sinai was essentially a reiteration of a stipulation with the world at the time of creation. Let's try to understand this Maharal. Haras Derech or Vaisbu. In quoting this Maharal, he says, L'chein ein ruya shetia kabbalat ha-torah tshleya b'vchirat Yisrael el b'achreach gamor. You know, when you say Naseh v'nishma, it almost seems like, okay, if you want to choose it, you can, and if not, well, that's okay. Says the Maharal, Hashem therefore had to come down, kafalim har kigigis, and say, well, this is not about if you feel like it or not. This is hechrechi. You have to do this. This is not about choice or not. And not only do you have to do it for yourselves, you have to do it in the world. The world is waiting for this acceptance. Torah Yisibat Briyas Olam. The whole reason that Hashem created the world was for Torah and the Aaron 13. V'kiyum Olam, and that's the whole reason the world exists. V'lo yitachen shitiyah mushtat. It can't be that the whole world is predicated al bechirato biladi shalatam, if in their mood, if they feel like it. Im kein akfiya haita mukhracha mitzad atzva lemroch v'kvar kiblu beretzo. That's why they had to be forced, even though that they accepted it, to say that this is the bottom line. There is no world without Torah. The world is going to revert back to Tov Avohu, because the world, the part of the way Hashem wired the world is that there's going to be a group of people that are going to follow the rule books of this world. If you don't have this group of people following the rule books of this world, so then there's no reason for the world to exist, and the world is going to turn into Tov Avohu. And in order to impress upon Klal Yisrael that there is no option here, it's not like, oh, you know, I'm in the mood, I'll do it. No! Hakfiya hayta b'nukuda chazaka biyoter. How did Hashem show that this was not an option, but they had to do it? What did he do? He threatened them with death. And we know the Balei Musar say, Rabbi Yisrael, Sharatzon Hamok Biyoter Mikol Ratzonot Shaldam Ratzon Lichyo. Right? If Hashem said, well, if you don't keep the Torah, I'm going to make you poor. I don't like being poor, but you know what? This Torah business is really tough. Okay, I'll choose being poor. I'll choose being sick. I'll choose, people may say, the following. Death? No, no, no. People spend all of their money, everything they have, to live. So if you're going to put death in front of them, well, I have no option because I want to live. So therefore, I have to keep Torah. And he quotes here, and this is really such a fascinating psychological insight of Rabbi Yerucham 15:8. Shechazal gilu lanu yisod gadol b'kochos ha-nefesh. Chazal here are really telling us the depth of a person's mindset. Shorish kol ha-chata'im hi shelaguf nidmeh shuyachol la'sok yirtzano. Bottom line is, the body, which really has the upper hand over the soul, feels like, you know what, I'm in control and I can do whatever I want. 15b, shabichira b'yado, they have free choice. B'rega shabichira b'yado, once the body feels like it has free choice, matchil hu litpato, then you start imagining, then you start creating. Koach ha-pitui, koach ha-yom, and that can take you very far. B'rega shu mitpate, mashnit havanato, v'akol nasem utam l'ritzenotav. Once you have the imagination in place, then you do whatever you like. Yeah, I know I really should, but you know what pleasure I'm going to get? Wow, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth every minute, right? And that's how we are seduced by our and whatever you say by the sechel, you're not convinced because, wow, it's going to be so worth it to sin. The only way you can break the goof, the only way you can keep it in check, is by making it afraid, but really afraid. And making it so afraid that it has no option. Like, oh boy, I better do this or else. And that's why Hashem had to literally pick the mountain up over their head. This imagery is very powerful imagery. It's saying, like, this isn't like, you know, feel good religion. No, this is bam. This is no choice for the body to understand that this is where we're at. And therefore, just to summarize this in the end of 15b, Zoe Shinoi Mauti Bitsura Avoda, we normally think, Etzlein Mekubal Shavoda Chayev Aliyom Mevuseset Al Hakara Al Dat, Hey Makom L'Kfiya. We normally think Judaism is about, if you want to do it, if it feels good, if it makes sense to you. But we see here, no, there are really two parts. You're right. At first, it has to be Hagdalat Hakara Tzuma Be'erach HaTorah. First, you have to realize the greatness of Torah. You have to appreciate Torah. You have to realize it's the Birumimut HaHitmatzrut HaMechlat LaTorah. To realize the great levels of giving yourself over to Torah. Be able to appreciate this. Ach Zeh Bilvari No Basis Maspik Lavtiach Kiyumah Shel Torah. But even the people who love Torah and they think it's the best way of life and I want to live a Torah life, that's not going to be enough to base Torah. You also have to be forced into doing this. Whether you feel it or you don't, you must keep it. And he says, and this is really a great summary, Tachlit Adam, the end of 15b, double underline, the goal of a person, to be forced in what he's doing. The highest level is to go from someone who chooses it to someone who realizes, I have no choice. This is who I am. The way the Sichat Eliyahu picks up in 16 by saying that we have to understand that we are mitzuvim ve'osim. That what did we get when kafalim har kikikis? What transformation happened to Klai? So we were keeping mitzvot beforehand. But now we were commanded to keep them. And we have no option but to keep them. Kol inyan kfiyas har kikikis, the asterisk in 16, hu bichdei lasod et klai yisrael lemitzuvim ve'osim. We came into a situation and we're being forced to do it. And if we're being forced to do it, harei she'aser chovato motel olam. If you don't have an option, you're going to do it. Right? The boss says this has to be in by 5, you know, o'clock the next day. So you're going to stay up all night till it gets in at 5 o'clock the next day. There's not an option, right? So again, anus rachli patre, right? There is an idea. If you're forced and you can't, you can't. But you're going to do your utmost to be able to do it. That's how you have to look at Torah. Kaf Olim Harkigikis is a mindset that Torah is not just about Naaseh V'Nishmah. It's not just a feel-good religion. Torah is very much about, this is what the world is predicated on. This is my responsibility. This is what I have to do. And he says, Ein Zeh Luxus. Elozoi etzem kiumenu in 18 vaviatenu. This is our whole purpose in our lives. Im einanu mekabim Torah, einanachdu klum, efes. And if we don't keep Torah, it's not like, oh, so we didn't keep Torah, so we didn't do it. No. Sham take v'ratcha. There you're going to die, because outside the world of Torah, you don't exist. There is death. Out there, there's nothing. Because if you don't have keeping Torah, the whole world doesn't exist. There's nothing left. Sham take v'ratcha. In the entire world, you're going to bury. You're not only going to bury yourself, you're going to bury the world. And this now explains very, very beautifully the Mishnah Perkei Avos. It says, in the arrow in 18, im lamadata Torah harbe. If you learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tov al atzmacha. Don't look around thinking, you know, oh, that's such a great favor to God. Kilakach nosarta. This is why you're created. This is your mitzvahs. Ha'im rotzein chalavatel kol kiyum shulcha. Do you want to get rid of why you're created in this world? And that is what we have to think about when we're reading Mamet Har Sinai. It's not just that I'm, you know, in shul and I'm standing, listening to the Aseret HaDibros and hearing about Mamet Har Sinai. It's not about that, my friends. I mean, it is about that, technically. But it's about understanding that what happened at this event, we became Mitzuvim Vosi. We became obligated. We became Kilakach Notzarta. We became the nation for whom we were created for this purpose. And if we don't live up to this expectation and this obligation, then we've lost our whole essence for being here. This is what defines me as a person. V'zoi kabbalata Torah shalanu. 19. Lachushet l'kach notzarta. Continue sichat Eliyahu. This is why we created. U'meila tapacha v'yir Hashem lo namo b'chivim shalanu. And that's the fear we should have. Am I living up to my obligations, each and every person, where they are at, with the expectations that Hashem has for them? Obviously, every person's holding in a different place. But from where we should be at, we're holding up the entire world. Every person is an olam mole, a full world. And if we're not keeping the Torah the way we should, we're going to revert the world back to tohu vavohu. This has to be our mindset. At this moment in the bracket in 19, we should almost imagine when we hear the Torah that the mountain is over our head like a barrel. And we're feeling so close to Hashem. To stop a moment, get off the merry-go-round. And yes, I have carpools, and I have this, and I have my job, and I have my work, and I have my summer home, and I have, and I have, and I have, and I have so much on my head. But you know what? The bottom line is, there's nothing more important in my life than to be an Eved Hashem. And I have to be able to access that core reality on Shavuos. Shavuos is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. Am I keeping Torah or not? All my spirituality, how well I'm going to be inspired in my davening, in my learning, in my chesed for the entire year. The bank account, is the money is being put in, so to speak, on Shavuos. Hashem says, how connected are you? How much of your world is really filled with Torah? Then I'll fill you with opportunities to really be able to grow in Torah. This Yom HaDin, this is a day of judgment. And if I don't realize this, and I don't access this, and I don't live up to this, I'm creating destruction and havoc in the world and in my world. So it's a very, very intense time, Shavuos. It's a time of saying, and that's why the Sfarim say we don't have mitzvos, particular mitzvos on this day, because it's not about a matzah, and it's not about a lulav. It's about the entirety of your being. Your whole self is Torah and mitzvot. How you relate to it. How you understand that this is my chiyuv, a mitzvah v'osa. I need to do this. I have to do this. And I do it b'simcha because I know ki l'kach nosarta. Because this is why I was created. This is the essence of Shavuos. And that's why Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher, source number 20, points out, he says, that, you know, till now, Klal Yisrael have interacted with God, he's been really, really good to them, right? The Makos go to the Egyptians. He split the sea for them. Every Jew, the Medrash says, walked out with 90 camels laden with goodies, right? Slav, man, be'er. I mean, he's treated them royally. So, of course, when you say, would you like the Torah? They'll say, sure. More of the greatness. We're ready to take. Kafalim har kikikis. I need you to know that, of course, Torah has these wonderful things. But Torah is avdus. It's Kabbalah ol machut shemayim, the yoke of heaven. It takes work. It takes effort. You have to work at it. Alfei shanim sha'amal v'yogon behester panim shen gadol menu. You're going to have years of divine concealment. V'ol kashel shel taryag mitzvos v'machshava v'dibur v'maisa. 613 mitzvos that have to be careful with in my thought, in my deed, in my action. L'olam lo yu ol b'nei charim anashim chavshim. You're no longer going to be free. From now on, you're going to have avodas perach to serve God. That's why they put the mountain over their head. It's not just fun and games. Torah is responsibility, and we need to understand that. So, of course, with ourselves and teaching others, we teach the beauty of Torah, and we teach the greatness of Torah, and we need to appreciate that, no doubt about it. Simultaneous with that, at the same time, we have to understand it's not just a Nasa V'Nishma Judaism, it's a Kafalem Har Kigigis Judaism, it's a Judaism that demands. It's a Judaism with expectations. It's a Judaism where you are Kabbalat O Machut Shamayim because Ki Lekach Notzarta. This is how Hashem envisioned the world. We are Yom HaShishi. We are the ones upholding and keeping the world. What a responsibility to be the captains of the ship. And this is how Rabbi Roberts answers, perhaps, why the fire was present. Source 21. Hashem wanted to forewarn the Jewish people that Kabbalah Satorah was fraught with difficulties. It meant undertaking a way of life that would lead to countless challenges, challenging experiences, and ordeals. Those flames around Mount Sinai were there to hint at the ordeals of fe of the Spanish Inquisition, the European pogroms, and the incinerating ovens of the Holocaust. What has prompted this organized persecution? What's the root of all this hatred? In reply, our sages explained that Mount Sinai, the enmity stems from the time when the Jews embraced the Torah, which all the other nations turned down. Yardas Sinah La'akum, Mount Sinai, hatred came down to the world. In their hearts they realized what they had let slip, and the fact that Klai Yisrael had not made the same blunder rankled and embittered them. The bitterness turned into powerful and persistent hostility, and the flaming mountain intimidated and forewarned us what was in store. Torah would guarantee Jews a blissful Olam Haba, but did not promise an easy passage in this world. Small wonder, therefore, when the sight of those flames and their fearsome warning was enough to make them retract from their spontaneous Nasav and Mishma, were it not for the coercion of Kafa Lem Har Kigigi, said the mountain was over their head. So far, my friends, we have portrayed on the second level, the first part of the second level. We said there are two parts, right? We're now in the middle zone, the Venn diagram of moving to the second part. Not there just yet. Torah is obligatory. Lekach notzarta. This is why we created. Kafalim har kegigis l'marau. You have no option. You have to keep Torah. Now, my friends, we move. And here's where the moving, we're not there yet. To a very interesting 22, Darash David, Rav Hofstadter, where in the piyutim for Mariv on Shavuos night, we say the following. Sadiq har kafa. The righteous one held up the mountain. Alei gavav v'yafeh, over the exquisite and beautiful one. Alei naveh v'yafeh, sorry, of over the exquisite and beautiful one. Kigagit v'kiriot, like a barrel and like a canopy. So now we have another imagery of the mountain, not just like a barrel, but also like a canopy. So Rav Hofstadter explains, perhaps the Jewish people's initial acceptance of the Torah was somehow incomplete. Even though B'nai Yisrael already expressed their absolute willingness to be committed to the Torah and its mitzvot, we can understand that a commitment that is born of a person's free will will actually lack a certain dimension of completeness. Someone who makes such a commitment is liable to renege on it when the time comes to act on it and encounters difficulties. Since he was not compelled to commit himself in the first place, he'll feel justified in abrogating that commitment. This danger does not exist when a person feels compelled to assume an obligation. When there are external forces that impose a commitment on an individual, it is not necessary for him to battle Zetzara in order to abide by it. In such situations, when his actions are a product of necessity and not of his own personal choices, he will not be deterred from remaining faithful to his commitment, even if his efforts are hampered by obstacles and hardships. And that's why Hashem had to coerce Bnei Israel to do it. Bnei Israel did not, in fact, accept the Torah against the will, God forbid. On the contrary, when Hashem coerced them to accept it, the very coercion helped to actualize their true inner desire to make an unbending commitment to the Torah and the mitzvot. And this, we're softening the blow a little bit. Why did Hashem bring the mountain over our head? It's not like, you know, you have no option, you have to do it, the world is riding on you. It's that when Bnei Israel said, Na'aseh v'nishma, this is really what they wanted. And Hashem says, I know the human condition is that if you don't have, if someone's not obligated to do something, and they're only doing because they want to, with a good, most purest intention, it's going to be limited. And therefore, Hashem said, I'm doing you a favor. Tzaddik. Hashem's righteous here. It's a favor Hashem is doing. If I force you to do this, so we know that you're going to be ensuring to do it. You know, it's like a conversation I heard in the car last night. Someone drove me in somewhere to Shalayim, and they had an eighth grader in the back seat. And this was the conversation. The girl just had a test on a lot of material in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the mother said, are you happy you learned this material? She says, I'm really happy. I'm just not happy I took a test. So the mother said to the girl, well, if you didn't have the test, would you study? And the girl was like, I guess not. Right? You need to have that coercion in order to be able to do. It's very nice. She wanted to learn it. Beautiful. But unless you have that outer force that's making you, so then there's going to be a limit on how much you want to. And this, he says, is the imagery in 23 of the marriage relationship. So, of course, when the man and woman decide to get married, there is this relationship of giving, and they want to, you know, be compassionate to each other, and giving to each other, and they want to spend their whole lives that way. Halachically, there are obligations that the husband has for the wife, and the wife has for the husband. So you say, why do you have obligations here? They're in love. They're going to want to give to each other forever. And we know, my friends, that the answer is, that's in the books. And Mir Sashem, some people will be zochas to such marriages. The reality is, unfortunately, that over time, this relationship wears down. And what happens is, over time, the emotional bond, 23, between the husband and wife may deteriorate. Doesn't have to. And the drive to be caring to each other may erode. The obligation that a husband and wife assume toward one another are designed to cement that desire for mutual kindness in the framework of necessity. End of 23, when a husband and wife begin their marriage, they willingly make commitments toward each other, so they will always be compelled to remain sympathetic to each other. And we all know this, right? A wife comes home from work or from a long day in the house, and she says, oh, I'm not in the mood to make dinner tonight. I'm just not in the mood. Okay, so I won't make dinner. Right? So, okay, maybe one night you can take out, or two nights you can open up tuna fish and cereal and milk. But if you constantly say this, that's inappropriate. Right? There are certain things that a wife does, certain things a husband does. And if I'm in the mood or I'm not in the mood, this is what happens. And this is what Torah's about. Torah's not about only Na'aseh v'nishma. It's about this bond. It's about this relationship. So when I look at the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem as a marriage relationship, I don't have this element so much of fear, you know, here you'll die, but rather, here is where I need to be in order to make sure the relationship happens. And it's interesting, the Shita Mekubetzet in Source 24 notes, in the Bracha, Mekadesh Yisrael, Aidei Chupa V'Kedushin, the Bracha under the Chupa, the Shita Mekubetzet says Chupa refers to the mountain that was suspended like a barrel, and Kedushin is the Torah that they receive. The Aruch HaShulchan states even more clearly, the Chupa and Kedushin are those of Klal Yisrael who were wedded to Hashem at the time of the giving of the Torah. The Chupa was Har Sinai, for he held the mountain aloft us like a barrel, and we stood beneath it as one stands beneath the Chupa. And the Kedushin was the giving of the Torah. When you look at it this way, even though Bnei Israel were placed beneath the mountain unwillingly, the coercion that they underwent was intended to sustain their own willing acceptance of the Torah. And they made it comparable to a wedding canopy. And that's why, in conclusion, This episode reveals the fundamental principle of human psychology. Very often, even when people have resolved to embark on a process of spiritual growth and enhance avodas Hashem, he fails to follow through on its own resolution. When time comes to act on such a decision, a person may discover the path before him is fraught with obstacles and difficulties. When a person observes that there's a wide gap between his positive intentions and reality of his actions, let him make use of this wonderful tool that Hashem has given us to actualize our potential, the tool of compulsion. If a person engineers circumstances that will force him to achieve his goal, then he will be able to surmount any difficulty that is there. And this, as Rav Schlesinger points out, is what it means. Kafaleim har kigigis. It means, he says, Aval mikan vasiya v'kiyum mitzvah halacha l'maitzvah merchak rab. The people understood that the distance from saying nasa v'nishma to actually doing it was very great. V'zu ha'ita k'fiya miratzon k'dei l'sayeya b'yadam li'asem et ha'shmeya v'et ha'kabalah v'k'tei she'alom kal yoter b'emet l'kayim k'ol ma'a she'kiblu al tzman. V'k'viya zu hi'ita asyata d'shmeya l'kiyum ha'mitzvah z'po'al. Sfarim explained that B'nai Yisrael asked Kafaleim har kigigis. They said, you know, Hashem, we say Nasa v'nishma, we're ready to do it. But you know what, Hashem? We know it's going to be hard. We know that it's hard to make dinner every night. We know it's hard to wake up and daven and do chesed, etc., etc. It's hard. Hashem, do us a favor. If you force us, if you make it compulsory and not voluntary, and it's not just based on us, but as the Maharal says, we have no option, and we feel that we have no option, so then we're going to do it. So the forcing, unlike the first part of this level where Hashem is coming down and like, boy, you guys better do it or else. This is, Hashem, please help us. We want you to put the mountain over our head. We want to have this external coercion. We want this relationship like the chuppah and kedushin, that there is ksuva, that there is a responsibility on both sides. And this is what we daven every morning after the Birkos HaShachar and the Yiratzo. V'chov et Yitzrein lishtabelach. Hashem, force our will to serve you. We ask from Hashem what we call kfiyah dati, force religion on us. Mevakshim amenu shechov et Yitzrein kadeshinu chalkan lason mashanu be'etzem rotzim lason. Hashem, help us do what intrinsically we want to do. Now, my friends, we're going to move a little bit faster, a little bit moving here to a whole different energy and feeling of what happened in Mamre Har Sinai. We'll begin with Rav Mintzberg Zal Ben Melech. If we take a look, he says, at the Psukim in Parshat Hazinu, we find in the squiggly in 28, or we'll start with the arrow, that Klal Yisrael standing Tachtid Ahar was a sign of love and affection. Yisovavenhu yivavonenhu yitzvernehu kishon eino. And at Mamre Har Sinai, Hashem surrounded us with a mountain as a sign of love. It was as if b'chinat chibuk shekivyachu chibek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. What was the barrel over the head based on the Pesukim in Hazinu? It was as if Hashem was giving us a humongous hug. I love you. I want you to be my people. This is also found in Rashi on Sivivam v'kifam ba'ananim v'sivivam etgalim l'arba ruchot. Hashem surrounded us by clouds. Hashem surrounded us with the four sides, with the galim, with the encampment. And there's almost like a double imagery here. Hashem surrounds us with the clouds as if he's giving us a big hug. And then we surround the Mishkan as if we are giving Hashem a big hug. That's the whole imagery of Mamre Har Sinai. It's a big hug coming from Hashem, and it's as if Klal Yisrael want to be embraced and give this big hug to Hashem. Rashi in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, source 29, V'hein tuku l'raglecha, and they were fit for this, for see now, they brought themselves in the midst of the underside of the mountain at your feet. It's a form of they were acted upon. They were centered at the location of your feet. Explains the Ben Melech this Rashi, that Klal Yisrael wanted to go under the mountain to be able to feel embraced by the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a sign, Shmigodol Avatav LaHashem, because of their love for Hashem, Hichnisu Atzvam Tachav Reklei HaHar Likanes Tachat Shulto Machus Hashem. It wasn't that Hashem forced the mountain over their head, they willingly went under the mountain. And that's why Hashem says, any place that you find outside of this, Sham Take for Atchem, your whole life should be about this love. Your whole life should be about this big chippuk. What is Yiddishkeit? It's one big love. This is the canopy. This is the imagery of a wedding and love. This is what Yiddishkeit is all about. So, my friends, we see almost two diametrically opposite imagery. On the one hand, what is Mamad Har Sinai? Mamad Har Sinai, yes, they said Asa V'Nishma, but Hashem puts a mountain over their head, and you better keep Torah, otherwise I'm going to destroy the world. And the fire, and the fear, and the trepidation, and if you're literally, you're going to burn if you're not going to keep it. And then there's simultaneously a whole different imagery that comes from the Pesukim, in Hazinu Mil Sabracha, which is very much about Moshe Rabbeinu's final speech, Hashem's final speech to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the people, very much about love. Very much about that, those parting words, how that relationship is so deep. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, I want you to understand what happened at Mamad Har Sinai. You wanted to go under that mountain because you wanted to be Hashem's people. You wanted to have this close relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Hashem wants this relationship too, Kivyachol, and that's the chibuk, that's the hug, that's the love, that's what kafalim harkegigis, and that's why it's referred to as a chuppah, as a canopy. And here the Chasam Sofer says it so clearly in 34, moving to the next page. He says, on the one hand, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, told Klal Yisrael, you are my servants I took out of Egypt. And as servants, he put the mountain over their head. You better listen. On the other hand, he gave Moshe, when he finished speaking, Kikalasa, we had all shared this year, the Torah was given to us as a gift, as a bride. Rashi also comments on the Pasuk, Moshe brought out the nation. This teaches the Shechina went out toward them like a groom going out toward his bride. And from here we learn that a groom should go to the end of the chuppah to meet the bride and bring her into the chuppah. The mountains being suspended over them alludes to these two dimensions. Fire, the threat that our burial place will be there, frightened us, just as a master who acquires the slave compels them to force them to work. But it also serves as a chuppah for the marriage of the Jew people took place with chuppah and kedushin. And this imagery is what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Hatzal, Darash Mordechai, points out in 33, is really about. It's about Al tiyu kavod mishamshim et harav habanat l'kava pras ve'yeh moro shamayim alechem. Don't be someone who's going to serve God for getting a reward, right? Serve out of complete love and have the fear of God on you. How do we understand that? Because sometimes love can waver. The nasa v'nishma won't be able, perhaps, to stand. You need to have the moro shamayim. Hashem put the mountain over our head just to ensure, not to frighten us, to ensure that we'll be able to maintain this level that we felt at Nasa V'Nishma. And this, on this level, the Berachaim, Rav Biederman speaks about what the fire represents. The fire represents the love, the passion. Right? We know there's also Minhag Yisrael, that the parents, it's a Minhag, a lot of Minhagim, a lot of the Chuppah represents the Har Sinai, right? They say breaking the glass, it's a Shivrei Luchos, that you can have things break, and things don't go the way you planned, and you can start again. It's all the, a lot of imagery. So there's a Minhag Yisrael that the parents looking down, the Chasam Kala, walk down with fire, with candles. And again, this is to remind ourselves, Mamad Har Sinai was with fire. So again, you can look at it, the coercion fire, which hopefully you don't, or you can look at it, the fire of love, the fire of passion. And this is why Hashem has, the Tzaddikim explain, why was the fire of Mamad Har Sinai ablaze? Lakorti Cheshnut, in the bracket in 35, L'aliva Talei B'limud Torah, to have us passionate, awake, alive, to keep Torah, B'ahava B'simcha, with love, with joy. And only in this way can a person serve their master, B'emes U'B'tamim, K'shekol Kulo Boer K'lapiti Me'omet Lipo V'lo Rak Me'asafal V'achut. Yiddishkeit, it's not just about going through the motions. Yiddishkeit is feeling passionate about what you do, to have that brand, to have that fire. And this is how he teaches his Tosfos. Well, why did you have the fire in the first place? And he says, 36, our question originally on Tosfos, don't have the fire, then you don't have to put the mountain over their head. Bracket of 36, Ella ki e efshar latei Torah l'Yisrael. It's impossible to give Torah to Klai Yisrael. Im lo yaviru kodem lachen et retichat hadam v'habren. You first have to make Klai Yisrael on fire, excited. U'melo chuchulav your esh kedolah mipnei Am Yisrael. That's why you need it to have a fire. You can't have Am Yisrael getting the Torah without a fire. Yiddishkeit is not dry and cold. Yiddishkeit is alive, it's warm, it's passionate, it has all these feelings. A marriage has to be always anew, alive, passionate with feeling. A home has to be a home of Kedusha, where the children and everyone in the home feels this fire, this passion, this enthusiasm. Not, ugh, it's a 3-day yontif. Oh my gosh, how am I going to cook, and how am I going to do so many dishes, and oh my gosh, I hate 3-day yontifs. Where's the passion? Where's the fire? You have just burnt it all up. Well, 3 days of being in shul, 3 days of meal after meal to be able to take the physicality and elevate it to spirituality. 3 days to have meals with Kedusha and Tara with different Torah and singing. That's the fire. That's the passion. That's our attitude. That's what Yiddishkeit is all about. Kedusha Slavi on the Pesuk 37, Marei Kvod Hashem Ke'esh Ochelet Perosh Ahar. If you want to know what Hashem really enjoys, it's the Marei Kvod Hashem, which when Hashem is able to see the Esh Ochelet, the fire that consumes us, in Libo Bo'er B'Shel Heaven Esh Kodesh. Our final idea for today, my friends, let's summarize what we've seen and let's really bring it down to life. What's the concept of Kafalim Harkigigis Sham Teg Furatzchem? Why the fire? So level number one, we've answered two of the three questions. Here, under the mountain, you're in Kedusha. You're the Avir Eretz Yisrael, in the real of your Eretz Yisrael, the Avir of Kedusha. If you go outside, Sham Teg Furatzchem, you're not going to survive. The air is so polluted. You have to be able to maintain that type of mountain momentum. So wherever you are, you create, as the Zitzko Tzaddik says, you create the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Dalet Amos Sol Halacha, Hashem Yimachem. To have that as a mindset, wherever I am, Hashem is with me. The mindset in my home, I have the Aron Kodesh. What is appropriate to do and say, I will do and say in front of the Aron Kodesh. At least the week before Shavuos, Shal Shemei Agbala, to be able to purify our homes, to make it a home of Kedusha and Tahara. That's idea one. Idea number two is Kafalim Harkigigis. Is that yes, they said Natsa V'Nishma, but Judaism isn't just based on what you want. Judaism is about actually doing. And anytime you leave that rubric, Sham Teg V'Ratchem, out there, the world outside of Torah, you've destroyed the world. The world will go back to Tov Avo, because the whole world is predicated on us accepting Torah. The fire in this case, the fire is the fire of fear. The fire is the fire of punishment. The fire is the fear. You better keep it, or else. You're Mitzvah V'Olsim. You have no option. When you stand with Mamad Har Sinai and Kriyas HaTorah, understand that, L'ki L'kach Nol Tzarta, we are here to upkeep Torah. However, we can soften this image a little bit, or shift this image. It's not only out of fear, it's also out of love. And the dynamics have to work hand in hand together. We wanted to be under that mountain. We asked Hashem to be under that mountain. We feel when we're under that mountain, Hashem is giving us a big hug. Siyata d'shmaya. It's hard to keep Torah mitzvot just because we want to. Hashem, force us. V'chofet yitreinu. Help us out, Hashem. Because when I feel that I'm forced, that I have no option, I'm going to manage. I'm going to do it somehow. I have to make dinner every night for the last 32 years. I'm going to manage. I'm going to do it. Another 32 years, I'm going to manage. I'm going to do it. Another 30, I'll manage. I'll do it. Help me. Give me that Siyata Shemaya. Know that this is where I'm at. That the Kafalim Harkigigis is not just, I have to do it, I want to do it. It's the marriage canopy. The fire is a fire of love. How does this relate to our lives? Final 2 minutes, here we go. This is very powerful. Notes, the Mesilas Bavav of Rav Eisenberg, 39. He says, V'nira Shemalame Torah Lama Yisrael, the asterisk of 39, B'kesh Vazel Laharatam Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah Vodas Hashem. We see from here that any nasa v'nishma that we do in our lives, and I'm talking hashgafically here, not halachically, not thankfully, not talking about halachically, hashgafically, any time that we, in our own personal lives, take on something to be able to become better in it, v'shuv ein ata ben charim lipater mimena, that is yours for life. Once you've begun doing something, hashgafically, after that, if this is what you've decided should be done, this is your nasa v'nishma, this is your way of coming closer to Hashem, now, kafa leim harkigigis, you are obligated to do this, and you have no choice. Here are some examples that he brings. I'm going to do it outside because of our time limitation. Person decides, you know what, I want to volunteer for Hatzalah. Now, Rav Beit Shemesh has 40 women that just joined the Hatzalah unit. I want to do this. And you're excited, and you go out and do it. And then after a few months, you say, oh my gosh, I can't eat with my family on Friday night, and then this, and that. It's such a pain. If this is what you've decided, this is what your neshama is screaming at, perhaps this is why you came into this world. You can't back down now. You decide that on Shabbos morning, you're going to daven a certain type of davening, and you're going to sing nishmas, and you're going to dance, and you're going to do something. That is what your soul felt was the level that it wants in your avodas Hashem. That was your nasa v'nishma. Chafalim harkikikis. Now, you're obligated to do it. Now, this has become part of you. Ach, I'm not in the mood. You know, when I feel like it, I'll sing nishma, and I don't feel like it, I won't know. A few years ago, we took on to have the tablecloth on Friday night. The Friday night tablecloth, the white tablecloth on Thursday night. How many times have I come home from weddings very late, and the tables, we have one table. The table is full. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, cooking, everything. It's full of you know, the mail from the whole week. Ugh, I want to go through this whole mail now. You know what? I'll do it tomorrow morning. No. Kafa lemar kikikis, whether I'm in the mood or not, I'm going to clear off the table and put it on the white tablecloth. Any inyan that we take on, and he goes on to say, any level that you were bequeathed with, which means your parents raised you in Mea Shearim, or you were raised in such a... This is the level that you're on. It's only upward. And he says so beautifully, and if a person should say right above 42, who needs all this? In ke mali la tzara hazot, adif li shol la tchil klal. It's better if I don't even start. By dal shikamoto, nemar lo dibrat Torah meiti. About those people, the Torah says, I don't talk to dead people. We're here to grow. We're here to move forward. We're here to become better people. So this is, in the practical way, our nasa v'nishma. It's like the Ramban says, why does a nazir be in korban chatan? You decide to be a nazir, and now you're returning back to everyday life? That's a korban chatan. You are a nasa v'nishma. You decided to move to a certain level. Kaf aleim har kikikis. That is now incumbent upon you. And hence, in 46, what we all call the holiday Shavuot. Not the Torah is coming, but Shavuot is coming. Because very often when a tzaddik would take on a level, he would make a shavuot like. He would swear to himself, I'll keep this. That's Shavuot. Shavuot is recognizing that all the aspects of our lives that we've taken on to help us grow, to help us become better. We are kufing v'omdim. This is what we're obligated to do. This is a kaf aleim har kikikis. We could feel like it's a burden, or we could feel like this is part of my big hug to Hashem. This is part of the wedding canopy. This is what I am adding to my love and my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu and my friends. The more we see it as a hug, the more we see it as a wedding canopy, the more we see it as love, the more we're going to want to create the air around us to be air of one of Kedusha and Tara, the more we're going to want to feel Hashem Imachem, and the more we're going to want to grow higher and higher in our Nasa the Nishma and our Kafa Leim Har Kikikis. Chag Sameach.